Now, it's a pleasure to be with you in Leuven this evening. I think it's about 2 years ago my dad first tried to put me to come here, and it was 2 weeks ago he managed to convince me. It's good to be with you. I was thinking about a few things. I was wondering about things that we know and things we'd like to know. A lot of us know from our backgrounds, from our jobs, from our education and training, various things that other people might think are special. Someone who's brought up and has worked for years in the medical field will know about conditions and about treatments that sound phenomenal to others of us. Those who have studied the details of astrophysics can confuse all of us with the level of their intellect. Whatever our speciality, whatever our field of study, we will know certain things. There are some things that people like to know and would love to know, but they cannot know. Every one of us has at some point said to ourselves, if I had known that would have happened, I would never have done whatever it was. People will say, I wish I knew what's going to happen tomorrow. People will look and they will see things they would like to know. But there are some things that we can know, and there are some things that we cannot know, that are defined for us in the Bible. I'd like to look at these, a few of these this evening. The first is in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 is just one verse. It's going to have a number of readings. If you want to look them up, that's fine. Otherwise, I'll try and read clearly so that you can understand. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. We will all have found ourselves in a situation, and we know what we should do. We know there's only one thing that is right for us to do. But we know as well that there's that little nag in our heads saying, ach, nobody will find out. It's easier just to do it. Just do that, it's easier, it's quicker. It's maybe not quite right, but it's easier. And we find ourselves time and time again, we will do something and we will say, I never want to do that again. And in the next day, we'll do it again. Even the children here, I'm sure, we have told their mum at some point, I will not do that again, I'm very sorry. And then 10 minutes later, I'm exactly the same thing again. It's human nature. It's something that is inside us. In me, that is in my flesh, in my natural being, dwells no good thing. The Bible has another way of putting that from a little verse. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we go about our lives, these things that we do and we know we shouldn't do them, the Bible calls that sin. And the Bible tells us that our sin and our iniquity has separated us from our God. So that's something we know, and it's something that's not nice to know. To know that in ourselves, we can do nothing that is good. That's not a pleasant thing to learn. But I'm afraid the Bible has some more bad news for us. Because in Proverbs 27, we are told of something that we cannot know. That's one we've referred to already, Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We look and we can make our plans. And at work, the drive from the management team is that every person employed by the company will have a 5-year personal development plan. And we review them on an annual basis. And you've got set measures that in 1 year's time you will have done certain things. And in 3 years time you'll be in a certain position. So that in 5 years time you're ready to go into another role. You're ready to develop to move on. And it will be set up with a 5-year plan. Well, the finance is not the 5-year plan. Mine's been drafted for a year and a half. But that's just where things go. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. People with their 5 years, their 10 years, their 15 years plans. Shaping up for their retirement and planning to leave work when they're 45, leave work when they're 50. Putting all the provision in place to enable them to retire early and to enjoy life. Putting their plans in to allow them to get away on their holiday in 5 years' time, their tour of the world. People have these plans. But the Bible tells us that we do not know what one day will bring forth. What a reminder for us just last week when a policeman down in Northumberland went about his job, sitting in a car not associated with the incident that was ongoing, and was shot by a gunman. You know not what one day will bring forth. Car accidents, train accidents, we've seen it all, tsunamis, 9/11, all the examples we could think of. People going about. People who will have had their 5-year, their 10-year plan, and in an instant, changed irreversibly. Great sporting people who have been aiming for the Olympic medals and have had an accident and they can no longer walk. They've lost the use of limbs. Their plans are shattered. And as we look and we see these things that maybe discourage us, we can do nothing good. We know that. And we know not what one day can bring forth. There's a man in the Bible and he spoke. And he said some words which maybe bring us a bit of encouragement. He was a man who had been born blind. And one day he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was given his sight. And some people accused and came against him. And they said to him, look, you're saying this man Jesus did this. But we know. And we've got our theories and we've got our rules. And by our rules that man is something we don't want to be associated with. This man said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. He had looked, he had seen a man who could give him sight. And people were telling him this man was a sinner. He said, well, I don't know that. I cannot prove that, but one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. And when we look and we see these problems around us, and we see what we cannot understand, we look forward and try and work out what we do not know. We can think of that man who said, one thing I know. What does that tell us? What does he know? He knows there has been a change. He knows there has been something come into his life. Someone come to him and it has changed his life forever. It has put him in a place that he could never have imagined he'd be brought into. That man who changed that man's life is the same man who can change our lives. The Bible speaks about us being blind in that we cannot have a relationship with God. We're dead in sin. We are blind to the things that are around us and what God has done. But through Jesus Christ, we can have life and we can have sight. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. This is a man who had to suffer during his life as a Christian. He had been put through trials which we would maybe struggle. Maybe we can never have faced them. But this man has faced trials. And he says one thing in verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We stand ourselves, and in us dwells no good thing. We stand in a position of no hope, and we cannot plan for the future, for we cannot see into the future. But the one who changed men's lives upon this earth. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. That is the message of good news, that he is able. While we have no hope, while we are not able, we can do nothing for ourselves. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, and he is able. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. People around us will tell us of philosophies, of ideas. And they will tell us that, well, you say that, but I think this. You look and you see the Bible, and we say from the Bible that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we can look and we can see in the scriptures the evidence that proves to us that he is the Son of God. We can look and we can see the perfect life he lived. But other people will say to us, well, we think he's just a prophet. And we have another prophet. They will look and they will say, our leader, our master. And they'll give various titles to the leader of their religion, or the leader of their sect, their philosophy that they follow. There is one difference. And that difference was summarized for us, or one main difference, one big difference. They look, and various people, if you ask them, they could take you to the tomb of their religious leader. They could show you the place that he went when he died. But in Job chapter 19, verse 25, for I know. Something else we can know on the authority of the scriptures, of the word of God. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. When we're faced with no hope around us, when we're faced with the efforts of men, and messages that place our faith in people who will die, what an assurance we have that we can know that our Redeemer, the one who has given himself, the one who has paid the price for us, the one who has made it possible for us to be right with God, that we can know that he lives. That we can know that the one who went to a cross at Calvary, the one who was crucified and the one who entered into death, that we can say of him, I know that my Redeemer lives. He is risen again. And tonight as we speak of him, yes, his blood was shed, yes, he died, and he died for us. But if a man dies and remains dead, his power is lost. He has been defeated by the power of death. But praise God tonight, Jesus Christ is alive. He entered into death, but rose victorious over the power of sin and death. Now we've already looked and we've thought of the fact that we do not know what a day can bring forth. But in Matthew chapter 24, he's speaking something slightly differently. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he's talking of a day that is to come. When things that we cannot fully understand will happen upon this earth. When God will come again to this, when he will come again, when God will come and will come in judgment upon this land, upon this world. He's speaking of a day when this message of salvation will cease to exist. Now there's a special offer on at the local shop. If you see it one day and it's something you really like, and you know you're going to use a lot of, you check the date on the offer, and you'll go back. Just before the offer expires, so you get the maximum time to use things up. That's what I find, I only go back the day after it expires. That's called a bad memory. But we'll try and we will plan things based on a known fixed date. And people will say, well, maybe you say, I cannot know what will happen tomorrow. But I can take measures to mitigate the risk. Buzzwords have come out of my work all the time. In an industry where people used to regularly be killed, we now look at a measure which says if someone is injured, they have to spend 3 days off work, it will reduce significant detailed investigations into it. If we went back 10 years, those investigations would be impossible to do because of the number of accidents. But risk mitigation, risk assessment, health and safety. It's bringing us to a stage where we think we can control all the risks. And people will say, well, statistically I am less likely to live, and I'm more likely to be an accident if I go in a car at this speed on this road at this time of day. So I'll travel at a different time, I'll go on a train, or I'll fly rather than using the boat. And they'll do all the analysis and they'll say, this is the safest way to get from A to B. They'll say, well, yes, gas can create problems because of gas explosions and poison from gas. So I'll turn my house and have electric heating and electric cooking to minimise risk. And people look and they analyse and they say, I can minimise these risks to my life. So that I have some degree of control over tomorrow. So I can give myself the best chance possible of tomorrow. There's a day coming that will change things. And it is a day when we are told in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36 of that day and hour, no man knoweth the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Men can look and they can mitigate everything around them. Eat the right foods. Travel the safest way. Keep themselves and look after themselves in the best way possible. But there is a day when Jesus Christ will come again. And we cannot know when that is. So regardless of your view on how long your life will be, regardless of your view on how well mitigated your life is, you have to look. And you have to accept that there is some things you cannot control. And therefore the message we speak of tonight is not one to plan into your calendar. A time to consider. It's not one to say, well, I'm busy this week, but maybe at the end of August I'll have a bit of spare time and I'll consider, I'll think about the message of the gospel. This is a message that is urgent. Because it's a message that controls our eternal destiny. It's a message that we have, that contains aspects that we have no control over. The Bible also warns us, and it warns us of why this message is important. Hebrews chapter 10. It's speaking of the things that people face because of sin. And the outlook because of sin. And it says in verse 27, a certain fearful looking forward to, looking for of judgment. That is why this message is important. If it was a message that may improve your standard of life slightly, you could have the discretion to say, I will live at the level I'm at. If it was a message that could give you an extra year to live, you could say, well, maybe I don't mind just 1 year over the whole of my life. Those who reject this message, because of what we have spoken about already, that we are sinners, we are separated from God. If we reject this message, we have just to look forward to that fearful judgment at the hand of God. But as we look and we see things that we know, and we see those things we cannot know, we see things that people have known that have made a difference. And we see things that if people had known, it would have made a difference for them. There's two things more I want to look at. And it's not this time things that we know. It's things that God knows. And one of them, you have to listen carefully, one thing that God says he doesn't know. Matthew chapter 7. We'll look at the unpleasant one first, because we want to finish on a positive note. When we look and we see what Jesus Christ has done when he gave himself at the cross of Calvary, the suffering he endured for us, the offer we have of believing, just like Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, I know who I have believed. We have that choice to believe as well. As the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. There are people who will reject. They will not believe. They'll maybe act out a part. They'll maybe go along to a church. They'll maybe sit and listen and maybe even read their Bible. But they will never actually believe. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. In verse 22, they've been typically saying, we have done this, we have done that. All for you, all in your name. Verse 23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The best people. These people, the things they have said they have done, are good things they have tried to do. They have tried to help people. They have tried to live a good life. They have done what they think is things that will please God. But never having believed, never having trusted in him, never having relied solely upon what he did at the cross of Calvary, they look at him and they ask for entrance. And he says, depart. I never knew you. But there is good news. We have this choice that we can believe. We have a choice to make, will we believe or will we reject? But John chapter 10 speaks of the other side. Of those who have come, have accepted what they are as sinners before God, have asked for his forgiveness, have trusted in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for salvation. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep, hear my voice, and I know as we look at who we are, and as we scale ourselves in the magnitude of God's creation, as we measure our pitiful existence against what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and who he is, how reassuring to look and to see him say, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them individually, each individual one. There's nobody who trusts Jesus Christ and does not enter into that blessing. There's nobody who just happens to get through and, well, maybe they'll just stick through. Each person, by individual choice, turns from the path that leads to destruction, turns from their natural state which will lead them to that certain judgment, trusts in what Jesus Christ has done. As they do that, they turn and they end up being one of those sheep that he knows. And as we go on through our lives, having trusted him, you can see things still come that are hard. Things will still come that you cannot understand. You won't suddenly know all things. There are still things we cannot know. But there is one thing we can know. That he is the good shepherd. And as one of his sheep, you enter into that place of security and of comfort. You enter into that place of safety where he, as a good shepherd, guards his flock. And what comes, and what things you might have to face, whatever they might be, we can know they are things that ultimately will bring glory and praise to his name. A few simple thoughts. Things we know that in ourselves we can do nothing. Things we can know, a change in our lives. That the one who we have trusted, the one we have believed in, is able. That the one who we have believed in is alive and is coming again. That he is the one who will know us. Things we cannot know. What will happen tomorrow. What we cannot know when he will come again and this message will cease to exist. What he will one day say, I never knew those who continue on. What those who continue on will one day know, an awful judgment at the hand of God. For me, the choice is simple. Jesus Christ has given himself. God has done all things that can be done. He's done everything that needs to be done. Tonight you have a choice. Will you try your own way and hear that saying, depart from me, I never knew you? Or will you trust in him? Rely solely on what he has done and hear him say, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. So close with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, come before thee this evening. We thank thee, we praise thee for all thy goodness to us. We thank thee, our Father, that we can look and we can see where we stand. But we see thy great love. We see thy great work that thou hast done, that work thou hast sent thy Son to do at the cross of Calvary. And our Father, we stand before thee. We give thee our thanks and our praise for the great salvation available. Our Father, we think of those who have maybe not trusted Christ for salvation. We just bring them before thee. Our Father, and pray that thou wouldst work with them. Stir up their hearts. And our Father, we may trust Christ for salvation. So we give thee our thanks, we give thee our praise, as we seek thy blessing in the name of Jesus Christ.